Well, a warm welcome to everyone. Praise Yahweh. I wish we had some guests today for this side of the room, because this side has plenty, but this side has none. So maybe I'll just scan a little bit, but certainly there are those joining us, so I'm glad about that. In looking at creation, we know that there is a creator. And, you know, I was looking at the 5-minute countdown. We have some good images on there, images that reflect Yahweh's creativity, also his ability to create beauty. And he knows what he is doing. We can trust that what he tells us through his word, and that even now we have insight into what is to come, though we will fully know then what we partially know now. We'll address in this message how to prioritize our affections, but also address the title and talk about being born of him, and ultimately about being born again and born from above. With this said, we are to live a life that reflects not only this knowledge, but also reflects the spirit that has been given to us. We are motivated to first serve Yahweh through his righteous Son, who also set the example for us and confirms what Scripture says. In chapter 12, verses 28 through 30, one of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked them, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" And Yahshua answered, "The foremost is this: Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our Elohim is one. And you shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength." So Yahshua defaulted to the Father's laws. And that is certainly evident here after having quoted Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5. That's where this quote is from. Oh, well, you may say, that was for Israel only. Yeah, tell that to Yahshua on the day of judgment and see what you get. We recently had a Bible study on affections. It was taken from the new topical textbook. This particular section on affections was teaching how we are to prioritize our affections, saying first and foremost, as number one, which we looked at, should be supremely set upon Yahweh. Deuteronomy 6:3, also found in Mark 12:30, which we read. Under having our focus on Yahweh, we find that his commandments are next in line as to where our affections are to be placed. So let's take a look at just a couple of these scriptures given concerning the commandments of Yahweh. Psalm 19, verses 8 through 9. The precepts of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. This topical Bible, a reference work for Christians, also quotes Psalm 119, verse 17, where David proclaims, in Psalm 119:97, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. So we can come back and visit the scriptures concerning how affections should be on the house and worship of his people, including heavenly things. These we know, but we need to be reviewing them until we grow to the stature and maturity of the Messiah, who had the fullness of Yahweh's Spirit. We only have a portion, so we utilize it the best that we can. We don't always do what's right, as we talked about in the Bible study today, but we're striving to overcome. We're striving to do what's right. We're striving to walk on higher ground, to have the weightier matters of the law within us and expressed through the Spirit, basically the fruits of the Spirit. So who's doing this? Yahweh. I mean, but ultimately we're allowing him to work with us if indeed we're not relying on ourselves and relying on him more. And ultimately, we will enter into the coming kingdom with his help if we hold fast to that which is good, and he is certainly good. Let's go into Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Messiah, until we all attain to the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of Elohim, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Messiah. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him, or into him, who is the head, even Messiah, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, which causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. One of the things we were talking about is we're not coming here for ourselves. At least we shouldn't be, in the sense of individually ourself. Now, there are times in which we are to, talk about things that are going on for us, but our main focus should be the body of Messiah, to serve. It talks about the work of service that we've been called to, for each other. Not we're not coming here for ourselves. We're coming here to give. We're coming here to serve and worship in a proper and orderly manner. But it is not just apostles and prophets, teachers, evangelists, but each of us as members have gifts for the works or the work of the service to help build up the body of Messiah, as is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This building up of the body of Messiah first required us to be born of him. 1 John 2:29, going through chapter 3 and verse 2. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we would be called children of Elohim, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of Elohim, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. Being born of him does not mean being born again. What do I mean? Well, as in a new creation from within, we are born of him and born again. Having a spirit or a portion of the spirit of Yahweh within us, changing us, conforming us to newness of life. That, in a sense, we are born again. But there's another born again that we'll talk about. Haven't yet attained to that being born again. Romans 6, 4 through 7. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Messiah was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was impaled with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. So if dead and then raised, then it is to newness of life we are currently in. However, there is another stage, just like a caterpillar that goes through a process, a gestation, becoming a butterfly. We have to go through this process to be fully changed into spirit beings. This is where a lot of Christians get confused about being born again. They don't fully understand the process, as we've already seen with prioritizing our affections. In no way are we to say the law was done away in this process. But you hear this again and again. Yahweh did away with the commandments. He did away with the law. That doesn't even match with what is promoted to Christians from scholars who say, well, this is the order of where our affection should be. So there's a disconnect, but we're not disconnected. We are connected with the Father. And so we have a better understanding of what we should be doing. How do we become fully born again? It's this. It's with this type of gestation period first, and then a change fully comes. And this was explained to Nicodemus, John 3, verses 3 through 7. Yahshua answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven, our kingdom of Elohim. Nicodemus said to him, well, how can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Yahshua answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of Elohim. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. You know, Vine's expository, I'll just pull it up here. Vine's complete expository dictionary of the Old and New Testament words shows the wording behind born again. It's called anathen, and it literally means from above. Young's literal translation and others give this better meaning, from, you know, being born from above. And as it says, from above is used of place with the meaning from the top, and it gives scripture, Matthew 27:51, Mark 15:38, of the temple veil. And in John 19:23, it talks about the garment of Messiah, literally from the upper parts of things which come from heaven or from Yahweh in heaven. John 3:31, John 19:11, James 1:17, also James 3:15, and verse 17. It is also used in the sense of again in some translations, but it's really meaning from above. And so we have a much better understanding if we look at a translation that shares this. And so in John, for example, is a better rendition of John 3:3-7 from the Lexham English Bible is a better rendering. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless someone is born from above, he is not able to see the kingdom of Elohim. Nicodemus said to him, well, how can a man be born when he is an old man? He is not able to enter his mother's womb for a second time and be born, can he? Yahshua answered, truly I say to you, unless someone is born of water and spirit, he is not able to enter into the kingdom of Elohim. What is born of the flesh is flesh, what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, it is necessary for you to be born from above. Being born of water and of spirit, spoken of by Yahshua, appears to be speaking about baptism and into the water and receiving a portion of Yahweh's spirit with the laying on of hands by the eldership of them. You know, we understand this process for us today. But if we look at the deeper level of what's being said here, we can see that the water is related to the flesh. And we know that the flesh and the blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yahweh, since that realm is spiritual. Paul goes over this in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50, speaking of, you know, flesh and blood is not going to inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. And that's very true. That's why Yahshua is explaining to Nicodemus the way it's going to have to be born again. That is literally from being born from above. But we are born of him, even now. We are born again, even now. We're new creatures, even now. Because we have a portion, a down payment of the Spirit of Yahweh that starts this process that will ultimately change us in a twinkling of an eye. We know that there will be in the first resurrection. The Apostle Paul brings up in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, those in Messiah who have, or who will be born from above fully. Those that are alive at Yahshua's return will also be changed in a twinkling of an eye. The process is getting everything ready, however, has already started. just like receiving a portion of Yahweh's Spirit, even by the calling of Yahweh by the same Spirit, starts a process of being led by the Spirit to fully walk in the ordinances and commandments of Yahweh. Did you know that's the purpose of the Spirit, in part, to walk in the commandments and ordinances of Yahweh? Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit within you, and I will remove that heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. This, along with Jeremiah 31, 33, shows us that what has already begun in part. It first started in Acts chapter 2. With the initial outpouring of Yahweh's Spirit. Again, Acts chapter 2 and the outpouring of the Spirit there was just the beginning. We await a change to come when Yahshua returns. We have to wait for that day, just as does the rest of creation. And the topic in the Bible study was patience. We have to wait. We have to be silent at times. Wait patiently. And being silent and setting the example for others is a good thing for us to do at times. You know, we talked about, keeping peace with all men. Sometimes talking to some people just brings on argumentative things, and we would be better off just to set the example than to try to speak to someone we have a good sense won't accept the message. But we know that creation is longing for this change to come for us. And those that, will see the sons of Elohim, ultimately, the children of Yahweh being changed, they'll be astonished. And we can't even fathom what that's going to be like, but we know it's coming. Romans 8, 19 through 25. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of Elohim. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of Elohim. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what they already see? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we eagerly wait for it. Seems like an oxymoron, we eagerly wait. But, it's something that we are doing today, I believe. So we eagerly wait, and yet we patiently endure, persevere, and overcome. But we also do a lot more than this before his return. We have good works to do. Ephesians 4, 23 through 27. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is the likeness of Elohim. It has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth to one another. Of you with each his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. Or, I think as the King James says, a foothold. It's like the salesman, door-to-door salesman. If they get the foot in the door, you've kind of lost the battle. You almost want to just buy what's being sold just to get rid of the person. But we're told to resist Satan so that Satan will flee. And that's the promise. But is this it? Not at all. We continue reading in the same passage, Ephesians 4, 28 through 32. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who is in need. Again, not coming for ourselves, but for others, helping them. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that as is good for the edification according to the need for the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of Elohim, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. We were talking a little bit about that too, slander. Don't want to do that. Along with all malice, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as Elohim in Messiah also has forgiven you. It's a tall order, but the list goes on. It's not the only thing that we're to be doing. Ephesians 5, 1 through 6. Therefore, be imitators of Elohim as beloved children and walk in love. Ephesians 5, 1 through 6. We can go ahead and pull this up, I think. Yep. Therefore, be imitators of Elohim as beloved children and walk in love, just as Messiah also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to Elohim as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed, you know, like the greed of Balaam. Yeah, even if you fill my house with gold and silver, hint, hint, it must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather of giving thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Messiah and Elohim. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of Elohim comes upon the sons of disobedience. Who do you think the sons of disobedience are serving? We know that they're serving Satan, and we don't want to be there. We don't want to give the devil a foothold. We certainly don't want to be doing his bidding. We want to do ultimately what Yahshua said in his own life, even with the severe trial that he was under. He said, Father, ultimately, you know, your will be done. Our attitude has to be the same. Otherwise, we're not going to make it. But we will make it, just like Yahshua overcame. And we can be encouraged by his process that he went through. And he said, basically that we can do the same. He said, take courage, for he's overcame the world. But it goes on in Ephesians, speaking about walking in the light, which we know emanates from the Father and the Son. In them there is no darkness. That's them with a capital T. Therefore, we also are not to have darkness in our lives. We've already been there, done that, many of us. For me, at least a couple of years were pretty severe in darkness. And it wasn't good. I didn't benefit from that. Nor would I benefit going back to it. Neither would you. Therefore, we are also not to have darkness in our lives. Otherwise, the warning of Revelation will come upon us. Revelation 18, 4 through 8. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins. What is sin? 1 John 3, 4. And receive of her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and Elohim has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back even as she has paid, and give back her double according to her deeds. In the cup which is mixed twice as much for her, to the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensually, to the same degree give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I'm not a widow, and I will never see mourning. For this reason, in one day her plagues will come, pestilence, mournings, and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for Yahweh Elohim, who judges her, is strong. In all of this, Yahweh is also merciful to those who are close to him. But those who walk contrary to him will be punished. In all of this, and in all these good deeds we've been talking about and need to walk in as new creatures in Messiah, our deeds do not save us. They just don't. Yahshua does. Through his blood, But our actions, again, should reflect the righteous character of both the Father and the Son. Titus 3, verses 5 through 8. He saved us, not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, meaning when we came to him, we started changing our lives already, doing things in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Messiah Yahshua, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed Elohim will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. Washing and renewing us from what? From this fallen world and the nature thereof. This world is in decay, unregenerate and dying. The Spirit of Yahweh, however, gives life and helps us to walk in newness of life. No longer spiritually in the decay and ungenerate, dying state that we were once in. Though it is true that our bodies are not getting better, but our attitude and overall character should be. It should be improving day by day. If we don't allow the Spirit as a seed to grow in us and help us, we will end up dying spiritually. So this is a warning as we read in warnings throughout Scripture. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Elohim and of Yahshua our Master, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything. Everything? Says everything. Everything pertaining to life and esteem through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. The Apostle Peter understood, maybe more than others, due to his own inabilities early on, especially before receiving the Spirit, to do as good as he could have, continues to say the following. First, or 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 9. Now for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, reverence for Yahweh, and in your reverence for Yahweh, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Master Yahshua the Messiah. For he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Don't let that be said of you. I don't want that to be said of me. We have to be determined and do our part by not leaning on our own understanding, but leaning on Yahweh and on his Spirit and allowing his Spirit to work within us to produce the good fruit. And we talked about earlier about the good fruit in the Bible study. You know, what is good fruit? It tastes good. It's something that, you know, people desire. It looks good. It tastes good, and it's good for you. And if you're producing that, it will be to others, and it will help them. And again, this is something that is outward. Yes, inwardly, we benefit. It helps us to grow. But the purpose for the gifts, the purpose for the Spirit is outward. Just like this universe is expanding, the Spirit of Yahweh should be expanding, and the Word should be going forth. And we know it won't go back to him void. If I put reference for Yahweh in here, where it had originally said godliness, But interestingly, the underlying word in Greek is Strong's 2150, Eusebia, spelled E-U-S-E-B-I-A, but it's pronounced Y-O-U-S-E-B-Y-A-H. Just a coincidence, I'm sure, but interesting nonetheless. However, the word in context of other areas of Scripture does point to reverence to and for Yahweh in one's life. Hence the reason it is often translated godliness. We could also say more accurately Elohim-likeness, or uprightness, as the Institute for Scriptural Research has it in their Bible. But as Peter says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Master Yahshua the Messiah. Paul also encourages, and let me just talk about the true knowledge of the Master Yahshua the Messiah. There is a true knowledge here, and this is good ground for growing in here with the understanding that we have of the Word. As we've been sharing this, it's good ground to grow in. And we know that the seed, if it falls on rocky ground or you know, is exposed to, you know, doubt and, you know, thorns and thistles, it can be choked out. But we produce good fruit here, and we're sharing this with others. And the knowledge of our Master Yahshua the Messiah is good here. It's not the understanding that you have out in the world, that, you know, the Messiah came to do it all for us and we don't need to do anything, and he did away with the Father's commandments. We don't have to do those anymore. They were too hard for us, or this or that. And it's a distortion, and it's not true knowledge. It is false knowledge, and it's of that anti-Messiah spirit that has been permeating from the get-go by Satan, and it's going to manifest itself with someone that's going to show up and go, hey, I'm going to solve all your problems, and in fact, you can call me the Messiah, and it's not going to be pretty, because a lot of people are going to fall for that. You know, we have the 12th Imam Mahdi that's foretold among the Muslims. You have other things that could be, you know, related to the anti-Messiah. We don't know who that is just yet, but we know the spirit, and we know the lies that are being told. And I'm talking to the body of Messiah right now. We know, just as we know that the law is spiritual. We understand what the law is for. It's for people like us who are disobedient, to get us to turn around, to repent, to teshuva, to Yahweh, to turn around to him and be the people that he would have us to be, not the people we think he might like, or the it's drawing on his understanding. You know, our point of view is, in our opinion, doesn't mean a lot to Yahweh unless it is in line with what he thinks and what he knows. And Job found this out. Others have found this out. You know, Yahweh is to be praised. We don't question him. We're not to question him. He tells us right from wrong. You know, in Romans 1, was it 1 and verse 38 or somewhere in there, it talks about, you know, people have had a knowledge of the Creator, but they've thrown it away. They rejected Yahweh, and he's turned them over to a debased, reprobate mind. Yeah, King James, and that is a mind that no longer knows right or wrong. You know, we see what's happening in some of the cities here in America, in other parts of the world. We see what reprobate minds do to a society. It collapses the society. We're seeing a world in trouble. We're also seeing a world that is starting to see some things that it's never seen before. World ocean temperatures going up to the tune of like 4 or 5 degrees. Temperatures at the base of Florida right now, it could be 94 degrees on land, and the water is 93 degrees. They're not getting any coolness breeze off the ocean. It's not that these things don't happen. They don't happen this early, and they don't happen this long. But you can't help but think about what does the word say? It says at the very end that the people will curse Yahweh, curse his name, because of the intense heat that will be on this earth at the end. The sun will be blazing. The oceans will be boiling, evidently. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to get cooled down. If it's 94 degrees on land, and I go in the water and it's 93, I'm not going to get any relief. So we need to be paying attention and watching, not only ourselves, I think most importantly, but what's happening in the world and why is it happening? It's a fallen world. It is falling deeper into sin. It's falling deeper into darkness. Our light should be shining ever brighter. Does the world like us? The world hates us because we'll point out its errors when appropriately. When appropriate, I should say. Well, our will should be the Father's will. And ultimately, that's where we want to be. Paul encourages us by saying in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Master, knowing that your toil," and it is toil at times, "is not in vain in the Master." So the Master is important. The Master has forgiven us of our past sins, provided us with a spirit to help us to overcome. This is true knowledge, true understanding of the word. Yahshua's work was to do the will of the Father, which is what our work should be aiming at as well. That is to bring honor and glory to the Father by our actions and overall attitude. It is our inward calling which will produce outward good works, good fruit of Yahweh. It always comes down to what Yahweh wants. It does. It always comes down to what Yahweh wants. That should be our attitude. What does Yahweh want? Yes, what did the Messiah do? Because the Messiah did the Father's will. So we have a walking, talking video, if you will, of what it's like to be in Yahweh's good, graces and in his will. And we know, of course, that Yahshua himself said, "Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? Those that do his will. My Father who is in heaven, his will." It should be our same attitude to teach others the same. But we tell others, and they think we're a bunch of, oddballs. Well, we are special. A peculiar people, some translations say. But we're dear in Yahweh's sight. We're like the pupil of his eye. If a sharp stick comes at your pupil, you're going to block that sharp stick with your hand because you don't want your pupil to be poked with that stick. Yahweh cares for us like the pupil of his eye. He's describing something for us so that we can understand just how much he cares for us. He doesn't want us to go astray because he doesn't want us to die. He's telling us what he wants so that we can live. And we need to be paying attention to his spirit and his word, which is in line with his spirit, to be able to overcome this world and its evil. which is influenced by Satan. So it always comes down to what Yahweh wants. Even in sending his son so that we might receive him and the forgiveness of our past sinful life. It was a sinful life for some of us. John 1, 11 through 13. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of Elohim, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of Elohim. So the Son came down on behalf of Yahweh, representing him according to his will. So how do we relate this inwardly? Well, I suppose we should review our list again. We have at the bottom there, looking at the last one, our attention and affection should be set upon heavenly things. So let's go to Colossians 1. Colossians 1, 1 through 7. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Messiah, keep seeking the things above, where Messiah is, seated at the right hand of Yahweh. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Messiah in Elohim. It's the only way we're able to approach the throne. When Messiah, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry, one of the worst forms of sin. For it is because of these things that the wrath of Elohim will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked, when you were living in them. It is what comes out of the mouth or inward heart that defiles a person. Things like immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed. Again, going back to Balaam. All inward, but produce an outward effect. The opposite of what we're called to be and to do. As Paul continues to point out as a warning in Colossians 3, 8 through 13, but now you also put them all aside, all of them, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free man. But Messiah is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of Elohim, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Messiah forgave you, so also should you. What brings glory and honor to Yahweh? We just read it. Okay? A heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, all stem from love. And that is who Yahweh is. All stem from love, which Paul says in verse 14, provides unity for all of us. You know, we've talked recently about being in the light and in the spirit of Yahweh. Unity in Yahweh. But love is not without the law of Yahweh. Romans 7, verse 22. For I joyfully concur with the law of Elohim in the inner man. But of course, he talked about his own struggles with his flesh. He said, who's going to save me from this wretched man that I am? Thanks be to the Messiah, Yahshua. So, he does get some credit, doesn't he? But ultimately, we do as he taught and did and set the example, defaulted to the Father. But there are other things that we're still needing to look at. The laws given by the Spirit have the purpose of moving us upward and onward towards our fellow man in love. King David loved Yahweh's laws, ordinances, and statutes, and was therefore called a man after Yahweh's own heart. He was in line with them, when he was obedient, just as the word of Yahweh is in line with the Spirit of Yahweh. 1 John 3, 9 through 13. No one who is born of Elohim practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin. Cannot, in other words, keep living in that. Because he is born of Elohim. By this, the children of Elohim and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of Elohim, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. The world hates us. Even a brother can hate us unto death, as was the example of Cain. Cain symbolizes the world. Abel symbolizes a true servant of Yahweh. Going back to our initial list, we see our affection should also be upon the people of Yahweh. So we're not necessarily going from top down, but bottom up now. But in Psalm 16, in verse 3, as for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. Here again is King David, a man after Yahweh's own heart, and his delight is in the people of Yahweh. Actually, it is emphasized that all of his delight is in them. Impressive love for the brethren, I must say. And an example for us. Romans 12, 10 through 14. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit. Serving the Master, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, and bless, do not curse. Loving not only the brethren, but all of mankind, but especially being devoted to the brethren as we have opportunity. Speaking of affections, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 8. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the evangel of Elohim, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. I've been getting some texts recently, some messages from Sudan, South Sudan, also Ethiopia. And I was watching a program of some outreach that was done there. And the people's hospitality rivaled even the rest of Africa, is what was said. They have had some of the hardest difficulties. Sudan, civil war, lengthy civil war, like 15 years, famine, to where they're just skin and bones, great suffering. And yet, what is pointed out in those that have visited there, among those who believe, as best as they can can understand, their hospitality rivals that of other areas. It's because of the suffering, no doubt. They can appreciate what it is to serve and to give, as they have received help, no doubt, and have been given, seen that service from others. But ultimately, it should be stemming from Yahweh, how we serve and love one another. Do we even need to be reminded that no greater love than this is to lay down our lives for our friends? Ultimately, Yahshua spoke of himself in saying this in John 15 and verse 13. But going up the list, our affections are to be upon the house and worship of Yahweh. There's a number of scriptures here. I won't go through all of them, but in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 3, King David gave abundantly both gold and silver to the house of Yahweh. It was his delight to do so. It says, as well as with all of his ability, he provided, quote unquote, for the temple. And of course, Solomon was yet to be king and build the temple, but was ready with supplies when Yahweh had prepared Solomon ultimately to build it in his own good timing. King David said in Psalm 26 and verse 8, O Yahweh, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your esteem dwells. Today, this is with us. Do you love us, the brethren? Do you love us? Do we love one another? Like King David loved the worship and temple and gave of himself for it. Psalm 27 and verse 4. One thing I have asked of Yahweh, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yahweh and to meditate in his temple. You know, the reason this message started out mentioning Yahweh's creation is that I was watching a video with soft background music with scenic views from around the world. It was beautiful. And if creation is beautiful, then the Creator must even be more so. To be born of him is to appreciate him and his creation even now, and to think about how we have been made partakers of that divine nature. It's awe-inspiring. One thing I failed to mention about the text coming from Ethiopia, Sudan, you can see the love in the text that they have for Yahweh. It's a little different than some of the other texts I've seen. It's a little more, how would you say, sincere towards Yahweh. That's not to diminish others' dedication. I'm just saying, how dedicated are we to Yahweh? Do we lay down our lives for each other? That's how it should be. Messiah set that example for us. But to be born from above is going to be just something that we can't describe at this time. The beauty thereof is indescribable. As Isaiah said, and Paul loosely quoted in 1 Corinthians 2:9, and we'll close with a scripture, Isaiah 64 and verse 4, For from days of old they have not heard or perceived by ear, nor has the eye seen an Elohim besides you, who acts in behalf of the one who waits for him. All esteem and honor goes to him through Yahshua, his Messiah. This is the first in our affections and priority in our lives. This also shows that we are born of him. May Yahweh bless. Hallelujah.